C3 AI software enables organizations to use artificial intelligence at enterprise scale, solving previously unsolvable business problems. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.
Here's your money briefing for Wednesday, October 27th. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. Many people seeking a graduate school degree to jumpstart their career choose a master's in business administration, but an MBA can cost hundreds of thousands of dollars. So, is it worth it?
A lot of experts say it's important to take in consideration other life circumstances around you. Do you have over $100,000 in undergrad debt still hanging over you? You might want to double check that because that's a pretty big deal.
On today's show, graduate degrees and debt. How do MBAs stack up against other grad programs? We'll talk with our business education reporter Patrick Thomas about it after the break.
C3 AI software enables organizations to use artificial intelligence at enterprise scale, solving previously unsolvable business problems. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.
After completing 4 years of undergraduate education, many students are on the hook for years of student loans, but some go on to borrow even more money to pursue an MBA. So does a business degree pay off? And what options for borrowing and repaying an MBA loan are available? Patrick Thomas covers business education and careers for the WSJ. He was part of a team of reporters who studied federal loan data from about 600 graduate programs, and he's here to discuss what they found. Patrick, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks so much for having me.
So, Patrick, you know, an MBA degree typically comes with a steep price tag. They can run anywhere from $100,000 to $250,000. So why do some students choose to take such a pricey path, and what do they hope to get out of it?
Well, many students pursue their MBA for the promise of a bigger payday, the ability to pivot to a new industry. It's very popular among career switchers. If you're in something like, especially if you're in something like engineering or medicine and want to kind of pivot to the management side of that, if you want to run your own firm, that's a very popular way to get into it. Or launch themselves onto an executive path. Maybe you were a consultant and want to go work in the C-suite at a Fortune 500 company. This is a way over time to kind of just build your resume to get that credential that you would be able to do that. And yeah, it's expensive, and that can turn some students off in recent years. That's definitely been an issue for schools, but a lot of students keep coming for the promise of that bigger payday.
Now, what do we know about how well an MBA pays off in earnings after graduation?
In the data we analyzed from the education department of nearly 600 programs, so not just the top ones you hear about it, but all of them, on a one-to-one debt-to-income ratio, 98% of those business schools typically made more money 2 years out of school than they had borrowed, which is kind of the metric to show when, if it's kind of paying for itself, like right after graduation. And compared to other graduate programs, that the MBA fared much better, where we know where law degrees, only 6% of programs had graduates with higher median earnings than debt. MBAs, it was 98%. So it's a much bigger difference in terms of how this degree, just the volume of schools that can pay off compared to other graduate programs and even top schools, but like in law, compared to law, which is another kind of popular degree if you're a career switcher for students. A lot of students decide between the MBA or law school. This just kind of shows that the MBA wins out a little bit there.
What about the amount of debt that a typical MBA grad faces? How does that compare?
Compared with other graduate programs, I mean, it's fairly similar, but it's definitely, the median is less. It's in the 60s, so it's not as high as some places. Like, again, not to harp too much on law school, but it is lower. In terms of the programs, like at places where the salaries are lower, I mean, typically some of these debt loads are lower in terms of state school. But some of the debts were really, really low at the top schools. And there's a couple reasons for that. In terms of students going to Harvard, only took out like $41,000 in federal loans. And there's a variety of reasons of why that is, including the data we look at only accounted for federal loans, and they only wanted to take out a small number at the best interest rate. A lot of the top schools have students going there who are very savvy about the interest rate they're getting on their debt. So naturally, they found ways to make it look a lot lower. They maybe have more savings if they come from an affluent background in finance or consulting. They're going to have a decent amount of savings. There's a couple of different factors that go into that.
Now, you mentioned federal loans. If MBA students do need financial assistance, how do they typically find it?
Well, so the federal government allows graduate students to take out a fixed amount of relatively low interest loans. They can do that for about a little more than $20,000 annually. So for a 2-year MBA, that comes out to about $41,000 for 2 years. That's a very popular option for those who want some of the lower ones. And if they need more money, they can always turn to the Grad Plus loans. And those have no cap on the amount that you can borrow. They have a little bit of a higher interest rate, around 7%, but there's no cap on the amount you can borrow. So if you need to borrow $100,000 to $150,000, that's the way you do it if you don't want to go into the private loan market. There is a smaller, about 10%, that do rely on more private loans, especially at top schools, because they think they can get better interest rates because they might be from a more affluent background, have more work experience, better credit rate, and they can get a loan for about 2 to 3% as opposed to the Grad Plus program, which is more around 7%. So MBAs at top schools, they're pretty good at finding ways around high interest rates and giving themselves the most manageable debt load and make their numbers look better just by using all kind of these tricks and mixing and matching loans. But for everybody else, the Grad Plus program is kind of one of the main ways they finance these debts.
Now, you've spoken with several MBA graduates who've managed their debt so it doesn't put them too far in the hole. Can you tell us about what they've done?
Yeah, those students, especially, again, if you go to one of the top schools and you end up in consulting, you end up in finance, especially if you don't have a lot of other expenses or are married and don't have kids yet, like you can pay these off pretty quickly with the salaries they're making. I mean, one of the students we talked to, they expect, they're going to make $200,000, which is pretty standard with signing bonuses at consulting firms. Or if you're going to work for McKinsey, I mean, the expectation is you can pay them off quickly. And that's what these students have largely done. There's a few other ways. Like one of the student alums we talked to had decided not to pay him down right away because she felt that she refinanced her federal loan, felt like she would make more money by putting a little bit of her savings in to not pay it down immediately, but by putting some of her new salary into the stock market and her 401k, and that there was no rush because with the MBA, you knew you were going to pay it off eventually, but you can kind of make it work for you. I mean, the best way they pay it off is really just when you go into a higher paying career. You can get it off the books pretty quickly and with some of those jobs.
But we should note that attending an MBA program isn't necessarily a guarantee that you'll jump into a higher income bracket, right?
Right. That is a really important point. A lot of experts say it's important to take in consideration other life circumstances around you. Do you have over $100,000 in undergrad debt still hanging over you? You might want to double check that because that's a pretty big deal. You know, do you have mortgage, car payments, rents? I mean, just where are you in life? What city are you going to live in? How old are you? All of those different things. And we know some students, it didn't pay off for them right away. They had trouble in the job search. Now the data says a lot of this does happen. But like one of the students we talked to graduated into 2020 and there was a pandemic and the job search got really tough for a lot of students last year who graduated at the start of it. And that means they weren't able to find a job immediately after, a year and 6 months after. It was tougher. So those students are going to be behind to start off with their paying it down or just at a disadvantage. So it's definitely not a guarantee. A lot does go into these top brands and experts will tell you that top brands are still kind of worth their weight in gold. So if you're not going to a top 100 school, just take into consideration where you are in life.
All right, that's Wall Street Journal reporter Patrick Thomas. Patrick, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks so much for having me.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen for the Wall Street Journal.
If a natural disaster comes knocking, how prepared is your family? You can't just close the door on earthquakes, floods, or hurricanes and hope they go away. That's why it's important to make a plan now. Ready.gov/plan has the tools and tips you need to prepare your family for an emergency. So if disaster shows up at your doorstep, you'll be ready. Visit ready.gov/plan and make a plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.